You know, this morning's title is Getting Heaven's Perspective on the Matter. Getting Heaven's Perspective on the Matter. And strangely, I'm going to change what I had to say up a little bit, for what I want to say this morning was meant to be for, God willing, next week. And when we look at getting heaven's perspective on the matter, I want you to understand what I'm saying, and don't get me wrong. When we talk about the mindset of Christians, we are not talking about the power of positive thinking, although thinking positive is good for you as a person. But we're not speaking about the power of positive thinking, as you would hear, no. And we're not speaking about the creative power of positive speaking or talking. You know, you can speak your existence in and all that. This is not what this is. The only one who has and can speak my existence and yours into being is the Lord himself and not ourselves. But getting heaven's perspective on the matter is getting the word of God's view of the matter in your life. And when trials come and temptings come, and testings come. Will you turn with me, first of all, to Romans chapter 12. As I said, I was possibly going to do this one next week, but I feel I'll just move it to this morning and see what way we are led in the following weeks in the Lord's will. Romans, please, chapter 12. I'm changing then the opening scripture to this morning also. We'll just read the first couple of verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father, again this morning we thank you that as we gather around the table we can say burdens are lifted at Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you for your doing and your dying and your rising again. And so, Father, we come to you in his most worthy and precious name, the almighty, most powerful name of Jesus. And we thank you for him. And we worship you, Lord. And we praise you. This morning, will you bless your people who are here or who are on holiday or those who are at home ill, unable to be here? And also, Lord, for those who are still tender after bereavement, will you comfort them? But Father, this morning now, would you open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to thy word, to your point of view, and how you look at situations we find ourselves in, and to those whom you love and those whom you've redeemed. We pray you'll speak to our hearts this morning. For those watching, Lord, may they receive a portion of the blessing. And we'll always be careful to give you the praise and the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. When Paul says here in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. To be conformed, it means the Christian allows the outside world to affect his inner being, her inner being. And Paul is telling them, don't allow what happens outside, and as Andrew has alluded to it on Friday night, and the whole, I didn't watch it because it's always just rude, crude, and debased, but the opening of the Olympics and so forth, there's so much in that, maybe another time we'll speak about that. If you looked at all the things that they were, if you knew, you had eyes to see, all the things that they were portraying there, and the wickedness that was there. You know, even from Marie Antoinette, you'll remember when I spoke about the believer's vote and how there was the left and the right in politics, and how ours comes from the time of that revolution when those on the left, the liberals of on the extreme left, sat on the left side of their Senate, while those on the more conservative side sat on the right. Hence we get left and right in politics and so on. Well, you've seen the left even there with Marie Antoinette, or a depiction of her with someone with their head cut off. And that was who it was meant to be. We are the left, they are saying. That's what they're saying, and the blood running out. We are the left. We are extreme left, they're actually saying. They're saying it in picture form. And so all of those things can affect someone, affect people for the bad, but it can affect the Christian and even discourage them sometimes. This is what is portrayed, and this is what is being shown on around the world and on national television. But there's a whole lot more with their golden calves that they had up as well. And we know of the house of Israel and its golden calves. These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of Egypt. And God smote them for it. Strange though, even of that in the depiction of the Lord's table as well, they done that. The grossness of it, and it's to offend and put out. They're making a statement and a point in this, but there's spirits behind it. It's the spirit that is behind it. And hence, it can affect people. And so when you and I are not to be conformed to what the word presses in from the outside in, it means from the outside in. And we are not allowed ourselves to be pressed from the outside in, meaning that we are not to allow that to affect us to the point where we comply to that which is around us, but rather we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the word transformed there, without getting into it all in the Greek text, it means that we are to be transformed from the inside, showing them who are without. From the inside to without. So believer this morning, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? But we open the sacred scriptures. We open God's holy book, our Bibles, and we read it. And not only renews our mind, it cleanses our mind, it refreshes our mind. And also, when we read it, it teaches us, it leads us, and it guides us. Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. And if you will, let your eye run down to verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, where? To the obedience of Christ. That is your thoughts. Bring your thoughts and my thoughts, Christian, into the obedience of Christ. And what are we to do? Cast down imaginations. Thinking of this on Friday, and I've just seen short clips of videos and what's come out on social media and so forth, showing us what's happened. And I believe that after this, was it last night, there was a blackout across Paris. But sure, that's only the electric system failing, isn't it? Try and say that in Brazil whenever they blasphemed the name of God in their very streets, and he sent floods and it washed them all away. Here, as Christians, we have weapons that are not carnal. Our prayer life. How's your prayer life? Come on, we all struggle at times, don't we? There's times you go to pray and you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. But a spirit-filled Christian, even in times of trial and problem and suffering and going through different things, in times of those sort of trials, we don't know how to pray, what to say. The Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 says, he groans in us. He does this groaning. Do you ever get when you're praying, say, Lord, I don't even know what to say. Oh God, I don't even know what to do. Lord, I'm coming to you and I just need help. And that's all I can get. Holy Spirit is moving in you, speaking through you. And that is a prayer. Keep doing it and keep praying. Pray through. Don't be through praying. And notice Paul says, these weapons of ours are mighty through God, not
our own wishful thinking nor the imagination of our own minds. And it's nothing of our own hands, and they're not fleshy and they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. So changing our thinking, getting heaven's perspective on issues and matters in our lives, that is where our victory is. That's where the Christian grows strong. That's where we get an ability to carry on, and we realize in this that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Christian, don't be looking at the world. I know, I told somebody something earlier on that says, well, you don't want people to hear that. Well, he was right. But I'm going to tell you anyway. Because if I feel like this, I'm sure many are feeling like this. I get angry. I get incensed when I see and hear these things. The debauchery in Belfast yesterday afternoon. You know, when our children's ministry was on for the week down in the building, it was fantastic. The amount of kids that came out, and they were learning about the Lord. And a man came online from the Unitarian Presbyterian Church. And he says to me, he wrote to me, and he wrote, shame on you, brainwashing those children the way you are. A Unitarian Presbyterian. But you see, when you deny the deity of Christ, your mind can go anywhere. Your mind can go anywhere. You can say Jesus never spoke about or talked about in the scriptures about, say, homosexuality. He never condemned it. Well, you see, if you're a Unitarian, you can say that because Jesus isn't God to you. You deny the deity of Christ. But if you believe in the fullness of the deity of Christ, then sure, was he not the one in the Old Testament who gave us his word against these things? Yes, he was. And did he not even in the New Covenant mention porneia and all of those and other sexual immorality? Yes, he did. But that's by the way. The thing about it is, brothers and sisters, is that there are vain imaginations of men and women out there. And as a Christian, you can feel like you're enclosed. And we'll look at this maybe next week. We'll see how we get on. And you feel pressed in as a Christian. Talking about as a believer. And I get incensed, and I get mad, and I get angry, and I can't remember the words I thought I said, but basically I said, yeah, my flesh would rise up. Lloyd, what was the word? Do you remember? No, because I was talking to you. You don't remember. I shouldn't have said anything then, got away with it. But I said, my flesh rises up, and basically I would love to grab someone by the throat and throttle them. That's your anger. And now, don't do that, by the way. But that's flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. And you in the place of prayer for 10 minutes could do more than you and I could do in 10 years. So it's a changing of the mind. It's not letting the outward world affect the inward man and woman or the inward born-again spirit, but rather allowing the word of God to change our mind from this. Change our mind from this. And let the word of God in us make us strong. Cause us to stand. And so when he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he tells us all these things you're to rip them down, these imaginations coming against you or on the TV or whatever. Pull them all down. Don't listen to them. Brothers and sisters, you and I who are saved, who are born again of his spirit, you and I who are washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I in whom God resides in us in the power and person of the Holy Spirit, you and I are privileged in the world. For this moment, for this hour, for this day, and for this time. God has you saved for right now. Did you know that? Sometimes we go, wouldn't it be wonderful in the days of the apostles, or I'd love to see the prophets, would you? Because I can guarantee you, 5 minutes sometimes of some of us being there, we would maybe want to run and hide. But nevertheless, you and I are here for this moment. And as it was said to Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You're here for this time. So let's renew our minds. And some of these things are going to be a bit lighter than others and maybe longer than others. And we'll not keep you too long this morning because I've so much material. In fact, I started writing this the week before and just jotting things down. And I've just jotted a few things down. And I said to Alison, if I got enough time, I think I'll write a book on this. And she says, like the other 10 books you're going to write. So perspective. Getting heaven's perspective on the matter. Whatever the matter is to you, okay? Whatever the matter is. People struggling. People weary. People hurting. People mourning. People tired. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. Perspective matters. How you and I see things matters. And how you and I see things according to God's word is how we get heaven's perspective on the matter. And that should strengthen us where we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul says. Perspective is a particular attitude towards or a way of regarding something. So perspective is a particular attitude or a way of regarding something. And how you face those things, deal with those things, matters. Your perspective on it. You see, you and I can stand into our own perspective, the human perspective, the impossibility perspective. Do it all the time. And it can cause you stress and anxiety and worry and fear and sickness comes. The Bible tells us about all these things that they bring sickness to us. Our body gets weary. Stress brings sickness to us. I'm writing this when I'm sitting because there'd been, as you know, sickness in my home recently. And writing this, what I'm about to, some of these points, I wrote it with a migraine on during the week. Could already see the page and had to keep leaving it and then had to go to bed and lie down. But these were the thoughts that were coming to me to bring to you. So perspective is a particular attitude. What is your attitude towards these things? Wherever you are, if it's an aggressive, angry attitude. Now, there's righteous anger. There's righteous anger which we should know how to mete out and to measure. But then there's just an angry heart and a bitter spirit. And it brings all sorts of trouble to you. So what's heaven's perspective on where you are at the moment? On what you're going through at the moment? Why has this happened, Lord? Or why are they allowed to do this? Why is the world the way it is? Again, I felt my blood pressure going over the weekend. I've never had high blood pressure. But I think it was. I felt my ears popping and everything with it. And I believed it was righteous anger. But I had to then check myself and say, Lord, maybe I shouldn't be as angry, but more prayerful about this. So perspective is a particular attitude towards something or a way of regarding something. Perspective is your point of view or a point of view. There's a little saying, a man finds a brick and thinks to himself, this brick is of no use to me. What could I ever do with a brick? And so he does what he feels is the only thing to do with a brick. Especially if you live in Belfast, you throw it. That's all we need to do with bricks, throw them. I mean on the ground now. Throw it on the ground. He throws it away. So this man finds a brick, what good's this to me? And he throws it away. Another man comes along and finds a self-same brick and thinks to himself thus, oh, a brick. If I could gather more of these, I could do something with them. I could build a wall. I could build a high wall. I could build a house. Two different attitudes. Two entirely different perspectives. Now listen to what it says in Zechariah 4 and 10. And this is to do with the building of the temple again in Jerusalem. And everyone was saying, this isn't going to happen. There's no way this is going to happen. It's too small of a start. In Zechariah 4 and 10, the Lord says, who hath despised the day of small things? Now this could account to you in your life personally, spiritually, physically. It could account to you in your business, in your home. In this sense, and this is what I mean, who hath despised the day of small things? Where, how am I ever going to start from here? Go and find what God says on it. Go and pray about it. And wait and see what the Lord says. And if God says this is righteous, do it. Then do it. And if God says this is unrighteous, don't do it, then don't do it. If it is against God's word, stay well away from it. If it is damaging to others, then do not do it. Who hath despised the day of small things? Well, I've only got a brick. In other words, I've only got a small business. I've only got this. And as I told you the other week, this assembly, this church started with one man behind a desk and one man behind a camera. And people started coming and people started getting saved. And we started going out in the name of the Lord. And many times I wondered, Lord, how on earth is this ever going to work? But you see, in Zechariah 4, chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us how it works. Tells us when it's off God how it works. You see, if you're struggling so long and nothing's happened, you need to go back to the drawing board. Is it my carnal works? Is it my own flesh? Lord, what is heaven's perspective on where I am in this? It's not by might, he says, verse 6. Nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And hence, that is heaven's perspective, that all things that we endeavor to do, not only in the assembly, but in life, in our life, should be always by his word and his spirit. So remember, maybe you're struggling with small beginnings. Remember the big doors swing on small hinges. Big doors swing in small hinges. And remember, to start a fire, you need a spark. You have to start somewhere. Remember, to climb a staircase, you need to go up the first step and then one at a time. A little bit at a time. A day at a time. Jesus in Matthew 6 tells us not to take thought for the morrow. The word thought there isn't that we aren't to think about tomorrow nor prepare for what we're doing tomorrow while you're going to work or maybe your lunches or whatever, how you get there. He's not saying that. Is why take ye anxious thought? Why are you worried about tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. So when you get into tomorrow, your tomorrow will be your today. Does that make sense? Your tomorrow will be a today. And when you get into your tomorrow, you don't think about the next day in that sense. You don't worry about it, for you must leave it in God's hands. And that is heaven's perspective. A day at a time. We have to take a first step if we want to climb the staircase. And it might look daunting, and it might look troublesome, and it might look, I can't do it. But one step at a time. One day at a time. And little bit here and there. Listen, when you get to heaven, if you're going, if you're saved, when you get to heaven, you ask Peter, and he'll tell you this. Listen, if you want to walk on water, well, then you better get out of the boat. You have to start somewhere. But getting out of the boat's not enough. You must keep your eyes on the master. Keep your eyes on him. But this is against me. Keep your eyes on him. The wind and the waves became boisterous to Peter, we're told. And when he took his eyes off the Lord and on all that which was around him, it says, and he began to sink. But he didn't when he had his eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the Master. In a world in which we're living in, keep your eyes on the Master. When we see all of the wickedness that's just multiplying, grossly multiplying, keep your eyes on the Master. And you have troubles within and without, keep your eyes on the Master. Look, when you can't change your circumstances, when you can't change your circumstances, then change your concentration. Change your concentration. You can't change your circumstances. Changing your concentration, again, is not the power of positive thinking. It is your concentration must be on the Lord. Lord, no matter what's happening, I'm keeping my eyes on you. Not what Jehoshaphat said. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What happens when we get to the final breath we take? What happens when we get to that day, which if Jesus should tarry, that one out of every one of us will go to the grave? And what happens when we get to that day and say, should the death dew lie cold on my brow? Said the hymn writer, really it should be and say, when the death dew. But if Jesus tarries, it should be. And say, should the death dew lie cold in my brow? Listen, he says, if ever I've loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. See, on the day should Christ tarry, that the death dew lies cold on the brow of Ken Davidson, I trust, should I not even be able to word it from my lips, that Christ will know that I love him. That I love him. And right to that moment, I still love him. So do you love him? You know, turn with me to Exodus 4, please. Exodus chapter 4. I'm just going to skip here for a couple of verses across this because, just for time's sake. Verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Lord, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. You say a rod? Okay. So Moses there and he has a rod. You know, in the previous chapter, Moses is thinking all the negativity, even against the direction of God. Even against what God's will was for him. And sometimes we know what we are doing is either against God's will, it's not in God's will, or we think that what we are doing before God, God will not be pleased with the way we are. And God's word comes to us. Sometimes it's easy to swallow, others, it's not so easy. And we fight against it. We argue with the Lord over it. And do you know what we need really to get to the place for? Full surrender of our spirit. That's where peace begins. That's where peace begins when God says to you, see that? That's wrong. But Lord, it's making me money. That's wrong. Give it up. That's wrong, but Lord, I love it. I don't care, that's wrong. Give it up. Stop doing it. And we fight up with the Lord about it, don't we? We all do at times where it's different things. And the Lord's saying, you and your family have trouble all the time. Why? Because you know what you're doing is wrong. Stop it. Give it over to me. But Lord, we need it. The Lord says, no, you need me. And peace starts in our heart, in our family, Peace will start in our home when we surrender ourselves fully to the Word and the will of God. That's where peace begins. You know, sometimes we pray, oh Lord, the storm. And I understand that we all do this and that and the other thing, and we all do. Lord, will you shut them up and take them away or whatever, you know? And the storm rages against us and our minds are troubled. But sometimes will the Lord say, no, peace is not always the Lord stilling the storm. But peace is always knowing that you have Christ in the midst of your storm. That's peace. When we know He is with us, when we are assured of Him beside us in the midst of all of it, when we can say, well then, because you're with me, Lord, because you're for me, Lord, then I have peace in the storm. I seen a wee meme the other day. It's the way I know those wee words too. I'm getting intelligent, you see. A meme. I don't know why it's called a meme, like, but I've seen it. I heard somebody else saying, that's how I know. And it says, you know, the wee chorus, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. And then down below it was these men and women in a raft going down, you know, white water rafting. And somebody wrote, the river, and it was turned over like this here. Isn't that the peace? It's not the way it is. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. See, when you get home, your raft's turned upside down, isn't it? There's your river. But the peace isn't about that. The peace is knowing that Christ is okay with me and I am okay with Christ. That's peace. That's where it begins. And that's where it ends. No matter what we're facing, perspective is a particular attitude. Our attitudes matter on the attitude we approach these. And it's getting heaven's perspective. Moses in the previous chapter, when the Lord out of the burning bush says, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses is starting to think, he goes, well, what are they going to do if they say this or they say that or they say that? And the Lord's saying, it doesn't matter what they say, but they won't believe me. That doesn't matter. They won't leave with me. That's not up to you, Moses. That's not your concern. Your concern is to go and do as I've told you, and you leave that up to me. And Moses is a little bit like that then in chapter 4. They'll not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. They won't even listen to what I'm going to say, Lord. And the Lord says, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. Can you imagine? The Lord says, what's that? He goes, it's a rod. Pretty common, because most shepherds would have one. So, just a rod. That's where I run down the chapter to verse 20. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the what? What is it? You didn't finish it, but. See, even when we're reading it, we stopped at rod. Moses took the rod. No, he didn't. He took the rod of God. This is what God said it is. What's that in your hand? It's a rod. Then there you are. Throw it down, it'll turn it into a serpent. You can take it again. He took the rod of God. See the difference in our mindsets and in our thinking? Going down to chapter 17. Boy, time's flying. Chapter 17, please. Let your eye run down to verse. This is when Amalek and Israel are fighting in Rephidim. Verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with what? See, now you've got it, you see. With the rod of God. You know why? It's not just a rod. It's the rod of God. If he didn't see the rod of God in this, if he didn't believe it was the rod of God in this, it's just a rod then to Moses. See, many of us look and see just the rod, and it's in our hands, and God's saying, what's that you've got? Oh, well, it's just this, that. No, the Lord says, so what is that? Well, it's just a rod. It's not just a rod, he said. He says, not when I'm with you, it's not. So getting heaven's perspective matters. How am I going to bring all these Israelites out? I mean, they've been in bondage for over 400 years. The armies of Pharaoh, they'll just wipe us all out and they're going to kill us. We'll have to go across a desert, and how are we going to get across a sea? And what are we going to say when we get to the bottom of a mountain? Oh, we're going to walk around it then. How do we get away from here, Lord? What's in your hand? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? Heaven's perspective is, God says, you're going to go. You're going to do what I tell you. And in that, leave the rest to me. So let me say that to myself. Ken Davidson, you're going to go and do what I tell you. Stop worrying about it and leave the rest to me. So I wrote this with half a migraine, or if you know what I mean. It was on and off. Oh, Lord. Lasted for 3 days this week. For 3 days. This morning, Sue, I don't know what you're doing. You're giving me high blood pressure again because we're standing here practicing. I see about 10 to 11. There's hardly anybody here. And I just look and go, where is everybody? Where are they all? Ken Davidson, never you mind. You're just to do this, what you have to do, and leave it up to me. You leave the rest up to me. And you can put your name in there, whatever it is, and let's get heaven's perspective on things. I'll do one more of these, and I'll maybe close, and we'll maybe look next week, God willing. So perspective matters. What you see and how you look at things matter, but it matters how God looks at it above all things. How you see things, how you think about them, how you look at them, how you understand them, will determine your journey in life. Now, I'm not talking about speaking your world into existence here. Please don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is this. How you see it will determine how you deal with it. And how you see it and how you think of it and how you deal with it will determine the outcome of it. Will it make you sicker, or because you've dealt with it wrong, you're just stressed? Who in all honesty here, and I will ask you to raise your hand, in any part of your life, your walk with the Lord I'm speaking of, has ever had one of those times when you just, Lord, I just don't know how on earth this is going to work? Who has? All over the place. I'm going to put two of them. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I have. I don't know how we're going to get over this. I don't know how we're going to navigate our way around this, Lord. I have. A million times. A million times. I remember when I was, I don't know where I should tell you or not, but well, I was down in Dublin, pastoring. And I knew I had to come up home, and the Lord was leading me on somewhere else. And I sat with Pastor McConnell in an office in Whitewell one time. And he really didn't want me to go. And I sat with him and I said, Bishop, I know it's the Lord of the go. He says, are you stressed? I said, yes, all the time. And he says, what? I says, those Dubliners are putting my head away. Yes, all the time. I thought they were different than the Northerners. They're not. The Northerners are just as bad as the Dubliners. Not our church, but by the way, just letting you know that. Not our church at all. And I said, I know if they go. And he said, ah, son, listen. He says, look, sure, I've near took a breakdown a few times myself. And this is how he was dealing with it. I says, what'd you do? He says, just get on with it and trust in God. He says, give me all to the Lord. He says, Lord, this is in your hands. This is out of my hands. I can't do this, Lord. I can't keep them, Lord. This is up to you, Lord. I've tried my best, Lord. He says, I've just left it there and I went right next to get on with the rest of the work. Now, he was hoping that that was what was wrong. Part of it, he wasn't too far off at times, but that was part of it. And sometimes, God has to come and give us that shake. God has to come to waken us up. Sometimes the Christian church has become the snowflake church. Can I tell you the truth this morning? Isn't that right? You know I'll tell you the truth anyway. A lot of the church has become snowflake church. It's all about, you know, make me feel good. I did or didn't like the worship. But we're not here to worship you. We're here to worship the Lord. It's not what we like or want. It's what our hearts are before him. And it's getting that perspective of it. Here's a little saying. Two men behind prison bars. One sees mud, the other sees stars. It's their attitude it speaks about. It's their perspective it speaks about. Two men behind prison bars. One's looking down. Well, the other sees stars. Well, at least have a good view. And it's how we see things in those predicaments. I don't mean behind prison bars. I'm just saying that as a way of making a point here. What would you see? What would you be looking at? What would you and I be fixed on if it was us behind that prison bar, those prison bars? Mother stars. Well, Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. I tell you to look at the stars. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork and so on. We understand that, and that's great to look at. It's good. But at the same time, we're talking about in a predicament that you find yourself in behind whatever those bars are. Are you looking at the mother of the stars? Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. Gives the idea of an upper room, by the way. Set your affections on things above. This is what, you look it up, gives the idea of an upper room. Do you know what happened in the upper room? He broke bread this morning. In the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This is the cup in my blood. Of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. That's the upper room. Paul may be alluding to, remember the upper room. Remember the body and the blood of Christ. Remember the cross of Christ. Remember what he done for you. What he did for you and has done for you in the cross. Remember his death. Remember him giving his life for you. Now that is getting heaven's perspective on the matter. Denise, would you let the children know to come up, please? We're running a bit late. Listen. Setting your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. This is not denying the prison bars. We're not saying that there are no prison bars. I remember when I was in Dublin, there was a man and he had a sore foot. I prayed for him. Nothing was happening. There was a big sore on his foot. And one day he came in and he says, I heard a man preaching, he says, and I've just decided to take his preaching on board. I says, well, what is it? He says, just deny it. I says, deny what? Just tell it you're not there. That was it. You're not there. I says, well, how's it working out for you? He says, well, it's still there at the minute. Paul's not denying the prison bars as such. We don't deny the prison bars. It's how we deal when we're behind those prison bars of our captivity. In fact, about 6 months here, he came with a bandage twice ahead of his foot. I says, how's that working out for you now? He went, no, it's not really too good, but I'm still denying it. You don't deny it. We all go through it. You see, the problem is you listen to some preachers and you need to be careful because some preachers will tell you, well, if you're sick then God mustn't love you. You're not in right standing with God. Nonsense! Rubbish! Paul prayed and left a brother sick in Miletus because he couldn't heal him. Deny it, it's there. That's the problem. I don't want to be careful how it says. I had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer and he started watching this guy from Africa on his TV. And the guy from Africa was giving them, saying all these scriptures on the TV. You know what he says? The same thing. You deny it's there. You don't need any medicine. You know what happened to him? He died. A mate of mine. He died. Brothers and sisters, we're not denying the prison bars are there. But seeing past the bars to place hope in our heart, to bring peace and comfort and relief to the mind when one is in the prison of their despair and situation and circumstance. And what Jesus says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yes, we're to lift up and look up. Notice, lift up, and we always put it to everything that's happening outside. That's true. But what about inside? What about in your family? What about in your marriage? What about in your home? What about where you are? What about your sickness, your illness? What about your trials? What about your hardships? When you close the door and leave church and you have your big smile on and your depression, he says, lift up your head and look up because I'm still your Lord. I'm still your God. He says, keep looking up. Brothers and sisters, we need to get heaven's perspective on the matter. And may God bless us all this morning. All those kids coming in is brilliant. Look at the sunglasses and all too, look. Mommy, have you got your sunglasses too? She does. No, Adam. All the girls with the sunglasses, bless them. Look, there's more over here. Praise the Lord. Let's keep looking up, brothers and sisters. No matter what it is, keep trusting, keep looking up, keep believing. Keep saying, Lord, I surrender my life and will to you. Whatever is happening, I'm giving it into your hands. It might not be how you want it nor what you like about it, but listen, surrender to him. And see the benefits that it brings to the Christian life. Timmy, come up, please. Time's flowing.